Okay, we're going to try that again. Hey, guys. So when I was asked to speak on this passage, I was super excited. I was really, really keen. And that is because this is one of the passages that my husband, Adrian, and I asked for Nigel, our senior minister, to speak on at our wedding last year. There should be a picture coming up on that. There you go. So that's Adrian and I, and then that's Nigel speaking about this passage. And that's not intimidating as well, that I'm about to do that the exact same thing. But you might be like, why would you choose this passage? Why would you choose a passage for your wedding? It doesn't really talk about marriage. Doesn't specifically talk about love. It's kind of random, isn't it? Why'd you pick that one? Well, the reason that we asked Nigel to speak on this passage is because it contains such a beautiful summary of the gospel, the good news of Jesus. It shows us so plainly what Christ has done for us and how we should live in response. And it shows us this joyful humility of Christ. Now in chapter 1, if we think about the context of what we've had so far, Paul has been thankful for the Philippian church. He's encouraged them, his own perseverance as well as to stand firm themselves, united in the spirit in the face of suffering or persecution. And today we're going to see another command for the Philippians and for us as well to practice humility and to look to Jesus as the ultimate example of what it means to be humble. Now, might seem a little bit funny, but what we're actually going to do tonight is something a little bit different. We're going to look at the second half of this passage before we look at the first half. Oh, mixing it up. Now, I don't recommend you do this every time you read the Bible and just say, yeah, Rach gave me permission to read the Bible however I want. No, that's not what I want you to walk away with today. But in this case, I think it's actually helpful because we can look at Jesus first and then see what that means for us secondly. So we're going to start today looking at verses 6 to 11, which helps us to firstly see Christ's humility. But before we do that, I'm going to pray for us. So let's pray together. Our Lord and Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for Jesus and the way that you show him so clearly to us through the Bible. Thank you for him and his death for us. Father, I pray that as we come before your word today, you will be revealing Christ to us by your spirit. Please be changing our hearts and our minds to be more like Christ. Amen. Okay, so our first point, we're looking at Christ's humility. But first, I want you to imagine something. I want you to imagine if King Charles, the King of England, should have a picture of King Charles, yeah. If King Charles decided one day to leave his palace and to choose to live somewhere like this. He just was like, one day, nah, I'm done. I don't want to live in my palace anymore. I'm going to go and live in a slum. Now, that'd be kind of weird, right? It'd be very strange. Lauren's nodding her head, pursing her lips. Yeah, it'd be weird. It'd be so weird. Why would he do that? He's the king. He lives in a palace. He's got a comfortable life. Realistically, that's never going to happen, right? He is the title of king, and so he is entitled to everything that goes along with that title, right? But we're actually going to see in our passage that that's kind of what Jesus does. Read along with me verses 6 to 8 in our passage today. So Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus, the King of all, in very nature God, became human. He lowered himself off his throne in heaven to live as we do. To be born as a little baby and to grow up and live in the mess and the muck of sinful humanity as opposed to the perfection of heaven, which he is entitled to. But not only do we see that Jesus chose to live as a human, but we see in verse 8, if you look at it, that he chose to live knowing that he would die. He humbled himself to death. And not just, you know, an old man in his sleep. He didn't just like go to sleep and just pass away in his sleep. No, he was killed in the most humiliating and painful way. You see, there's a reason why, if you look at the end of verse 8, Paul emphasizes even death on a cross. Now, if you don't know, most of you, I assume, would know, but if you don't know, Jesus was killed on a Roman cross. And this type of death was called crucifixion. And crucifixion was the most horrendous way to die. It was a message from the Romans to say to those under their control, stay in line because you don't want to end up like this person. It was a death which was actually reserved for the worst of the worst criminals in those days. Now, I think sometimes it can be really easy for us, myself included, to say, Jesus died on the cross. Super easy to say. But in doing so, we can sometimes actually lose the gravity of what those words are actually saying. Recognizing the humiliation and the mocking and the horrendous, painful death that Jesus endured is so important. Because Jesus didn't just die because he loves us. Jesus went through all of that because he loves each and every one of us. Jesus endured all of that, so despite your sin, you could be brought back into a relationship with your Heavenly Father, the God who loves you so, so, so much. Your sin, your rebellion against God, was paid for in the death of Jesus. And all we need to do is accept that mercy and ask for forgiveness. And the beautiful message of the gospel, if you know the gospel, you know that's not the end, is that even though Christ humbled himself to death, this is only the half of it. So we look at verses 9 to 11. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus, the King, who deserved all that being king entails, became a servant for us, humbling himself even to death, and then he was exalted. He was raised to life in glory. And as we can see here in the Bible promises us that one day Jesus will actually come back. Jesus will return, and everyone will bow before Jesus, the King and Lord of all. Everyone will see Jesus for who he truly is. And there'll be no questioning or ignoring him. Everyone will bow before Jesus, the risen King. Now, if we trust that Jesus humbled himself to death on a cross and then rose again to give us eternal life, then our lives need to change. Out of thankfulness and joy for Christ's humility, which he has shown to us, our way of living needs to reflect our changed hearts. And in Philippians chapter 2, we see that one of these changes is to follow Christ's example and to joyfully humble ourselves, which is our second point for today. And as I said at the start, we've looked at the incredible example of humility given to us in Christ. And the first part of chapter 2, if we look back to the start of the passage, instructs us to take on Christ's example and to live in joyful humility. Humility should be one of the most defining characteristics of a Christian, if you think about it. Read verses 1 to 4 with me. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united in Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. Joyful, humble, Christ-shaped lives are lives which seek to serve others. It is people living not thinking purely about themselves and their own interests and their own wants, but to the interests of other people. Now, what humility practically looks like might seem a little bit confusing. I feel like it's a word that we say, we're like, oh yes, I need to be humble. But like, what does that actually kind of mean and look like? Well, firstly, let me tell you what humility is not. Humility is not saying you need to bow down and ignore your every need and let someone trample all over you because you are only looking out for them and not looking out for yourself. Humility is not meaning that you need to be timid. It doesn't mean that you can't be strong or bold. Humility is not being someone's doormat and allowing for them to trample all over you because you need to put them above yourself. That's not humility. Rather, humility is to love other people with a love which looks like Jesus' love. A love which looks out for those who are weak or struggling. A love which puts our own pride aside and rather than being selfish, is selfless. Thinking of others instead of purely thinking of ourselves. And if you think about it, if everyone was looking out for the needs of other people, wouldn't that actually just be such a beautiful thing? If that was what everyone was doing, we would avoid a lot of problems in the world if people looked outside of themselves and we didn't live in a selfish world. How beautiful would that be if people showed humility towards others? Now, verse 5 of our passage today is one of my favorites. You might have been like, hey, Rach, why'd you skip over verse 5? We did like the end and the start. We didn't do verse 5. Don't worry. We're doing that now because I think verse 5 perfectly summarizes the way that Christians are called to live. Let's read that together. Verse 5. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. This verse tells us that in all of our interactions with anyone, we should think in the same way as Jesus. Now, that might seem pretty overwhelming to think about. How on earth do I approach anyone with the same mindset as Jesus? He is Jesus. He is the one who died for me. I'm just a sinful human. I can't get it right. That's the whole reason that Jesus needed to die for me. It's because I can't think like Jesus. And that is right. We're not going to get it right. We're not going to be perfect. But a good place to start is to look at the person of Jesus in the Bible and to see what he values. See the example that he sets for us of what a humble life looks like. And we, as people who trust in Jesus and are thankful for the humility he has shown us, should strive to live that same way. So I've got a couple of examples here for what practically humility might look like in your day-to-day life. So humility is not engaging in banter which tears people down. Banter is a cultural thing, right? Seems like everyone's involved in banter, but actually, think about it. Banter can be an excuse to be rude to people for the sake of a laugh. And when we put our own entertainment or desire to be perceived as funny above people's feelings, that's pride. That's not looking outside of ourselves and thinking of other people. That's thinking of how do I look? And it's hurtful. Don't be that person who tears people down, but rather builds people up. Humility is not shouting at the ref or an umpire in a sport if you think that they've made the wrong call, but acknowledging their authority over you in that context and just copying it. You can disagree. You can be like, oh yeah, I don't think that was entirely right. But you know what? I'm not going to kick up a stink about it. I'm just going to let it roll off my shoulders. It'll be fine. Humility is not fighting back and making a big example of everything. Humility also looks like, when life is hard, bringing that before God. Don't let your own prideful heart think that you need to fix all your problems. And you need to fix it on your own. But bring it humbly before God, who is in control of everything and loves you so much. Bring it before God. And when things are going well for you, thank God. It is God working in your life to give you all good things. So thank Him. Thank Him for when things are great as well. Humbling ourselves before God is a beautiful thing. Now, an example for myself, something I actually used to struggle with being humble, and sometimes still do, is that when people would compliment me for singing. There was a period in my life where I wanted to make singing a career. It was really important to me. I actually studied and went to uni for that. Didn't work out, and that's okay because that was in God's plan. But that was a really hard period of my life for me to humble myself in. It's something that I would get praised for, and it could very easily go to my head. And I realized that I needed to consider how to be more humble in this area of my life. I realized that I can say thank you and appreciate people's compliments and then say, thank you, I'm glad you enjoyed it. Or if it was at church, saying, thank you, I'm really glad that that encouraged you in worshiping God. And then thanking God for the gifts that He has given me to give to other people. God has blessed you with so many gifts and things that you might be really, really good at. So thank God for those things and think about how can I not just use this for myself and for what I want, whether I'm the best at maths in my class or an excelling soccer player. I don't know what it would be for you, but it'd be really good to think about in that area, how can I humble myself before God in that? It's tricky, but it's really worthwhile. And humility is ultimately saying, or not saying, look at how good I am, but look at how great Jesus is. Because He shapes our thoughts and our words and our actions, calling us to think more highly of others than ourselves. In our relationships with other people, whoever they may be, and however we may feel towards them, doesn't matter if we like them or we don't. We don't have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Now, I'm actually going to give you a moment, not that long, but just a moment to think to yourself, because I think it is really important, and I understand that we go to night church after this, so we don't actually have much time to discuss or think about this afterwards. So I'm going to give you a second to think to yourself, and I want you to reflect on this question. What is an area in your own life which you need to joyfully humble yourself in for Jesus and for the love of others? What is an area in your life which you need to joyfully humble yourself in for Jesus and for the love of others? I'll give you just a moment. I hope you managed to think of something. If you didn't, keep thinking another time. It's a really good thing to consider. But if you did think of something, pray to God that He will help you to humble yourself in that, because our prideful hearts will say, I don't want to do that. I don't want to humble myself in that. We actually need the Spirit to help us to do that. So make sure you pray to God and ask that He will humble you in that. And in living in that way, in humbling ourselves, we are humbling ourselves before Jesus. So we actually shouldn't grumble about having to be humble, be like, oh, I have to humble myself, and that's really annoying. I don't really want to do that. We shouldn't be grumbling about that, because we live in humility out of joy for what Christ has done for us. How He humbled Himself to death even death on a cross for us. And so we should be able to humble ourselves out of thankfulness for what he's done. Christians humble themselves for the exaltation of Jesus. And it is a joy to follow Christ's example of humility in our lives. And my prayer for you guys is that when people walk into senior high or to Christchurch Youth at any time, this is what they will see. And you might think this sounds kind of familiar. It's because I've paraphrased the first part of the passage. But this is what I pray that people will see here at senior high. I pray that they will see people who are encouraged from being united with Christ, comforted from his love, sharing in the Spirit of God, showing tenderness and compassion to others, and because of Jesus and his great love and sacrifice for us, a group of people who are like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind, doing nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, rather, in humility, valuing others above themselves, not looking to their own interests, but each to the interests of the others. How beautiful would that be if that's what people see when they look at us? Let us strive to live humble lives in our joy and love for Jesus. I'm going to pray for us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you sent him, that you humbled himself off his throne in heaven to die for us in the most horrendous way. Father, I pray that we won't become complacent with the cost of our freedom and salvation, that we will remember that Jesus endured so much because he loves us more than we could ever imagine. Father, I pray that out of thankfulness for Christ and his humility, that you will be humbling our hearts and our minds, that we will be putting aside our own selfish desires and looking to love other people. Father, I pray that you will help us in whatever way we brainstormed that we might need to humble ourselves in. I pray that your Spirit will be at work in us to do so, and that people will see senior high and see people who love each other and love Jesus. Amen.